The Running Won't Save You podcast season 3 is proudly sponsored by our friends, the Pick and Mix Ninjas at X Miles. How exactly is it possible to get 150 grams of carbs into your body without having a trail accident, I hear you ask? Well, I can't help you there, but what I can help you with is calculating what has 150 grams of carbs in it using the X Miles nutrition calculator, which is free on their website. You just go on there and add all the things that you feel like eating into the basket, and it'll tell you exactly how many carbs, how many proteins, how many sugars, how many calories, how many this, how many that in the nutrition calculator. It is honestly super, super handy and stops you having to read those tiny, tiny little bits of writing on the back of things. So, this season, our wonderful friends at X Miles, I keep referring to them as our wonderful friends, I don't even know if they like me, are giving us a 12-month subscription to X Plus, which is their membership platform, where customers can receive better pricing on single serves, free priority shipping, express order fulfillment, and 5% store credit whenever they go shopping, plus access to exclusive sales. They're giving us a 12-month subscription plus a nutrition bundle, which is a mystery bundle, like a tin of mystery meat in Lidl. This is a mystery bundle of nutrition. If you want to enter the competition, you can go to our Instagram page, which is Running Won't Save You Pod on Instagram. Click and enter the competition. This competition is running till the end of June. Or if you just want to go on there and order some Vela Forte, Tailwinds, Squirrel's Nut Butter, Active Root, High Five, Low Five, Medium Five, whatever five it is that you want to order, whatever food it is you want to order, whatever nutrition it is you're looking for, then head to the website, put it all into the nutrition calculator, put it all in your basket, and enter the code RWSY1010 at the checkout for 10% off. Thanks, guys. We love you. You're amazing. Honestly, I've probably used X Miles more than any other website in the last sort of 10 weeks prepping for the spine. It's great. It's quick. It's easy. And it is cheap. On with the podcast.
Hello, and welcome to Series 3, Episode 3 of the Running Won't Save You podcast with your host, Damien Hall, and
once my name was Ali Bailey, but I'm a shell of a woman now.
This is going to be so much fun. So, Ali, we are talking on. Do you know what day it is?
Wednesday. Wednesday. Good. It is Wednesday.
No cheating. Wednesday. Yeah. Do you know the month?
67,000 steps today.
So, Ali has just finished, just a few hours ago, the 2025 Summer Spine Race Challenger North. Just a few hours ago. How you doing?
In my this Airbnb, there's like a paper mache of a zebra. Its head. It's quite long, isn't it? Did its friends ask why it's got a long face?
Did he make that up on the hoof? So, been on any, how's your running? Been on any runs?
Like, when he talks, he's a little horse.
That's quite, wow, you can't be too reckless. Maybe you didn't.
After you've done races, do you ever get a hot face?
I mean, I'm always hot.
Do you ever get like, so your face is really hot?
No, that's called menopause.
Okay. That's the end of the podcast for today.
Sorry to menopause shame you.
And half the listenership.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
But the other half might join He Races, so it's all worth it.
Menopaused for thought before you did that.
Wow, you're actually on really good
when form. You, listen, when you were ill, did you, when you were little, if you were in your 40s, did your mum ever put the duvet on the sofa? Because that's what's happened here. I've got the duvet on the sofa, I'm in an Airbnb, my feet are hot and they're big and there's toes that I never had before, and I really don't feel very well at all. We've already had a row about what's for dinner because I don't want any dinner.
Should we get to the main, talking of dinner, get to the meat?
Yes. And so this is not normal for normal podcast because usually we're much better than this and well informed, but we have no choice today. We have to make this podcast. We're making it directly after the race. But then it's a bit like this is what happens to people after they've run 160 miles or something. But also, is this what happens to you after you've run 160 miles?
Well, you tell me, what was it like after the Northern Traverse?
Do you feel like you lose all your faculties? Or do you think because you're a dad, you can't?
No, I think the clever thing is if you're quite stupid most of the time, then after a race, people don't really notice any difference. That's my tactic.
But do you feel like empty? Like, I feel like I've got the worst hangover ever. I feel like I've done something terrible and I don't know what it is.
Yeah, no, I do get that feeling. It must be to do with sleep deprivation, and yeah, 2 nights without sleep isn't good. Isn't good.
It's a bit like a big drinking session because you get back and you think you know what's up. You think, oh, there's a bit of chafing there, or you that hurts, or yeah, that's bad. And you get in the bath and you get and then everything's revealed. And I've got sunburnt neck that's like, oh, a such shiny sunburn. It's like fifth degree burns. It's quite
How would
serious.
you describe your feet?
Like exotic dog treats. There's a blister like under my second most important toe, under the nail at the top. I'm gonna send a picture to Mel Sykes because she'll know what that's called. It's probably something quite scientific, but it's full of white pus.
Oh, scientists will want to see your feet,
Yeah.
definitely. Yeah. I have sent a picture already, actually, to famous foot fetishist Mel Sykes. I like to I'm keen to toe the line.
Has she said anything yet?
I can't I it just upset you. It'll just
I'm
upset you.
excited about what she's going to say.
I mean,
I think she might come around with her big scissors to chop it off.
that was the only option.
Okay.
Should we talk about your race?
Okay.
Where should we start? The start?
Okay.
Tell us, how were you feeling, day before, night before?
Well, the
What?
race is 100 and the race is advertised as 160 miles on the North Pennines from Harjord to Kirkyetholme, which is half of the Big Spine, isn't it?
Over half, it's like 2/3, yeah,
Yeah.
really.
Yeah. So I thought I'll have a bit of that. And then it's actually only 150 miles. This is an interesting thing. Why does the spine say that that it's 268 miles when it's not?
So it's because officially the Pennine Way does have 268 miles of trails, but that includes three alternative routes and diversions, which you obviously can't do both the normal route and the diversion at the same time. So there's an alternative higher finish, which actually the Sprint North uses.
Oh, it's
There's
so
the
nice after I saw that on the way in. I thought that's nicer.
it is nicer. It
Yeah.
is. And there's the Bowes Loop, which no one does. But it's like an option to go to Bowes, and if people were hiking it, they might stay there overnight, you see. So that's on the way to Middleton. So there are extra bits of Pennine Way that most of us, but they just, for the sake of argument, although it's causing arguments, thought, well, officially it's 268 miles. Let's say the race is 268 miles, but it's not quite that.
Is it like putting the word ultra in front of your name and using that as your Instagram handle even though you never go running?
It's a lot like that, or it's like doing an ultra marathon.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Sounds legit.
Yeah.
Anyway, so it was actually 150 miles.
Is that what your watch said at the end?
154, it says.
Okay.
But I did pause my watch a couple of times by an accident.
You sure you didn't take any Jack Scott style shortcuts?
Well, that's long cuts, isn't it? There's more.
Well, do you
On the
what
OS maps and
watches?
on the course. It says 150 miles.
Okay.
So it was more, but I accidentally pressed the button, which is annoying because I like to know what my elapsed time is versus my moving time. I don't think I'll be able to find that out.
Oh,
Actually,
God.
no, I will, won't I? No, I won't. That's a bit annoying. But yeah, I worked really hard for, I wanted to do well. Like Holly's my coach, obviously, and you're my boyfriend by an accident. And I wanted to do well because I want Holly to be proud of me, but also I want you to be proud of me. But also, I want to be proud of me. So I didn't say outright to you and Holly what I wanted to get out of it, like placing or like time wise. I did talk to you about time, didn't I?
Yeah.
But I was very aware of also not putting pressure on me and then not having a nice time because I'm not naturally competitive because I'm scared of failing at
You've got me a good time here because I fucking have no. I'm so fucked. So I'm saying what I mean because I can't hide anything because I'm too
Because
fucked.
what would you say to one of your athletes? Sorry, and I'm sure I can't speak for Holly, but I'm very proud of you. That was a brilliant performance, which we'll get into. But what would you say to one of your athletes who said they were scared of failing?
It's not scared of failing, it's scared of coming up short, which I think is different. Because I don't think I'll fail, because there is no failing. And there was a few times during that race where I was like, I'm failing here. And I was like, no, you're not. You're just learning the game still, because you're always learning. I don't want to come up short, and I don't want to be one of those people that overexerts,
Oversells what they're doing.
or like thinks they're better than they are. I don't know. I don't want to be. Is that confidence or is that arrogance? My tongue's sore. Do you remember in Shane Olie's film when his tongue hurts, so he puts Caniston on it? Should I do
Yeah,
that?
you definitely. Yeah, I carry a lot around with me all the time. Okay, so you had sort of more ambitious goals than you were telling people. Is that fair?
More ambitious goals than I was telling people. Do you know what, right? Ages ago, when I first did the World Horse 200, my first 200. I remember looking at one of the. I remember at the start, I looked at the Owain Jones, their friend. He makes these amazing driftwood trophies. So they just find driftwood on the beach and they make the trophies out of the driftwood, and they're brilliant. They're massive. And I remember looking at them, thinking I'd love to have one of them. And then the other part of me was like, "Don't. That's not for you. Don't look at that." And then my good bit of my brain was like, "Why don't you look at that? Pick it up. Look at it. You might have one day." And my other bit of brain was like, "You can't have that." And so sometimes I do think, well, what if I could have that? But then I always shut it down. But then it's like manifesting, it's like lingering there. So I was like, what if I could do well enough to come in the top five? Because I came in top five last year. And I think I give myself like a little safety barrier of top five. Because top five's not a thing, is it? Unless you're
Well,
Damien Hall.
to be honest, I finished fourth and fifth in so many races. I think the top five is well, and for any Arsenal fans listening, top four is a trophy. And I've genuinely had trophies for finishing fourth. So, but anyway, go on. Sorry.
What,
So,
in football or rugby or other things?
soccer ball and running at Tour de Gion, I got a trophy. Yeah, UTMB, I've had a trophy for fifth.
Have you?
Yeah. So for me, it's
I've
a
never had a trophy for fifth. Got fifth a few times.
picked the wrong races.
Yeah, I came fifth last year at Challenger South. So yeah, I was a bit like, I would like to think, and not because you know me and Kirsty were talking about. You probably don't because you don't listen to the podcast because you're a terrible traitor. And you only listen to football podcasts because you've got a small man brain.
All true.
It's not about being better than anyone else. It's about how hard you're prepared to work or what you're prepared to do on the day and how hard you've trained. And I was like, I'm pretty good at pulling a number out of the air and putting it on a spreadsheet and sticking to it. Aren't I? When it comes to
Yeah,
time.
the last two spreadsheets you've worked to have been really, really accurate. Yeah.
Yeah, they have, haven't they? And I picked out 52 hours on this one, didn't I? What is it? 53 hours, 11 minutes. And I looked at it and thought, that's a little bit punchy, I think. A little bit. But then I was like, well, no, because I've worked it out and I can't see how it could take longer, really. And I didn't have the sleeps I had, and I was a lot slower on some sections because some of them were absolutely diabolical.
Brutal.
Diabolical.
Can we get to?
Britain's most brutal nail varnish,
It's up there.
which the lap, everybody, which lasted the course of the thing, and I don't have any chipped nail varnish.
Can we go back to the start of the race? So you, yeah, you wanted to do well. You trained hard. You wrecked it all. How are you feeling on the morning of the race?
Being a knob though, was I?
That a real question? What how were you feeling like?
How was I feeling?
Because you didn't sleep well.
I slept so bad. Did you notice me sleeping bad?
No.
Oh man, I wake up every hour. Like my watch told me it was 5 hours and 36 minutes. I slept so badly. But then I was really excited in the morning, and then but all my friends were there. It was so nice. But when you got, it was a bit like going to a Centurion race. Do you know what else buoyed me up? The Centurion South Downs Wave 100 had been that weekend, and so there'd been a load of other races that weekend too, and there'd be some really good results. Mark Derbyshire got a really good result. I'm not saying that I was like, oh, I could do that, but it just was a lot of good news buzzing around in ultra running, and on the full spine, Anna Troup was back from injury, and everybody was really excited about it. And there were lots of just down at Hardraw where we were starting, there was just lots of people. Like John Barton was there. John Barton mentioned
He's still out there.
he's still out there, he's still running as we report live. Who else was there? Matt Neal was there.
Mel Sykes.
Yeah, Mel Sykes was there with her little perv camera that she takes around with her. It's about ankle level, and she just walks around with it, attached to her ankle, taking pictures of people's feet.
I thought she, so instead of upskirting or upshorting, she's down socking.
Down socking and also side sandaling.
Gosh.
Yeah, it can be quite, side sandling can be quite a dangerous game to play.
She's wow. But now everyone knows to look out.
Yeah.
Wow. It's a treacherous world out there. Okay, so although you can
Side-sandled by sight. See,
we've been
it's
sidetracked by side sandals.
see it, say it, sort it. Sniff it, bin it, kick it. Don't kick mouse sights.
Don't let us psych you out. You didn't sleep well, but you felt really good on the start line because of community.
Yeah, but mainly because you were there, because you, on the morning of races, you act like it's Christmas, regardless of who's racing. It is.
Well, it felt really exciting. Like everyone was going for a run, and I wasn't going to hurt that much. So it was great. Yeah. And like you say, friends around, it was lovely to see lots of people. And also, we saw several people from our spine training weekend that we put on. So it was really nice to see them as well.
Oh yeah, so we put on these fine training weekends. We did a summer one, which was amazing, and we do winter ones too, on sale soon. And oh, the little group was so nice, weren't they? Because they were supporting each other on WhatsApp the whole time. And
Yeah.
they were all doing different stuff. Some of them were doing the full spine, some of them were doing the south, and some of them were doing the north. I don't know what happened to the girls in the north, did you? Because
Well,
that was in.
I will update you after.
I was sucked into my own event because I'm a selfish bastard.
So let's talk about the early mile.
Do up. Why are you talking? I'm
Well,
tired.
you're barely talking, so can we instead talk about the early miles? So the race starts with one of the biggest climbs of the route, straight up Great Shunnor Fell. So, how was your pacing early on?
Well, picture this, Damien. Someone said, let's get some women to the front. And I couldn't be bothered with that. So I just pushed to the front and stood there with my arms crossed, staring at Kevin McCann, the race director, and Dean, his friend. Who's also the race director, Dean Reed. And then I was like, well, I might as well lead by example, example being absolute bellend behaviour. So then I just ran off at what Holly called 1,000 metre pace up Great Shunnor Fell.
Right, because
But
I
once you
remember.
start doing that, you've got to commit and stick to it. And Great
Because.
Shunnor Fell is a 2 mile long mountain, it's a 2 mile long hill. It goes up for 2 miles.
You'd specifically said to me, going to walk that because you had a slight concern about hamstring, so you're going to ease into it.
I 100% was going to just jog up it. I'm just telling you what the splits were
Oh.
on Strava for that first. If you're interested, for that first 2 miles, do you want to know what they were?
Go on then.
It's just doing it now. They were fast though, and I was thinking, oh, this is all right. I could probably hold up to this. And then the next bit of that conversation was for about 30 seconds. So I'll show you in a minute when it uploads. But I had there were some boys there, they were talking to me, and then I thought, oh, well, I'd better just try and hold on to it. So I did.
And what, how far did you go? How long was it
Oh,
before
okay.
you?
First mile was 11:46, second mile was 11:15, which doesn't sound very fast, but for very one, the rest of the pace overall was about 20-minute miles. It was quite fast.
It is a big hill. Was there a point when you thought, "Oh, that was a bit punchy,"
Yeah, when
or
I came down that hill into Thwaite.
okay? So that's only about an hour later or
Yeah,
something.
that's like mile six, and that's basically the equivalent of going to a party, drinking six bottles of blue WKD, realizing that you've run out of blue WKD and thinking, I fucked it.
And yeah. Okay. So then what?
Oh, then I just had to crack 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 on, didn't I? But I'd already set my stall out, and my stall was a bit like, I think I'm quite good at this.
So you don't normally do that.
No. Can't actually, let me just think. Maybe I have done that a few times. Can't really remember what races I've done. I don't have a brain. My brain is empty.
So tell us about, yeah, what was it like after that?
Hot. It was fucking hot. It was so hot. I got such bad sunburn. Everybody got really bad sunburn. And then when I got to like about mile 7 or 8, men started to overtake me, like the ones that have got compression socks that up their knees and arm warmers. You know, those men, the ones that have got three children, and one that's called Sebastian, and working as an A&E consultant. That was actually what one of them did. And I started to think, uh-oh, they're all overtaking me, and now this is going to be it, and I'm going to end up at the back.
And I think, are you sort of second in the women's field around this time, or do you
I was
not know
first.
that? You're first. Okay.
I was first all the way until we were at just before Cauldron Snout.
Oh yeah. So you were totally aware of that. Okay.
Do you know how I was aware of it?
Because you could look
No
around.
other women had gone past me.
All
That's how I was aware of it.
right, that felt
And do you know
okay.
what I quite liked? The fact that I knew because I hadn't seen them. Whereas sometimes you don't know because you don't, if you start in the middle or the back, you don't know how many, where they are or how many of them there are or any of that stuff. And so I knew they were all behind me. Which in turn, sorry, I'm yawning. But I don't actually care. Which in turn is actually quite good for me. I don't really mind women overtaking me at all. It doesn't bother me. I just like to know who's in front of me.
All right. So, Cauldron Snout's quite a lot further ahead.
It wasn't Cauldron Snout. It was just before Cauldron Snout. I'll tell you what, Slate Home it was. You came off Slate Home. Yeah, that big bit of
Oh.
runnable after Slate Home, you come over the little bridge and you go towards Cauldron Snout.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it
Okay.
was that bit.
Oh,
And
right,
you know,
that.
I kept thinking, I was like, she's going to go the wrong way, but she didn't. I seem to think that I'm the only person that recces routes and the only person that knows directions. And I forget everyone has a little tiny map of what risk.
All right. So a woman goes past you into first place. Did that bother you?
She was like one of those women. Like Robin Cassidy looks amazing. You know, like Robin always looks amazing. She's like really athletic looking, and she's got like these really nice shorts that look good. She's got a little bit of a thigh gap and a nice little black cap that looks cool. And when she overtook me, I was pulling up my pants with my arse hanging out, going like, sorry, I was just having a wee, attracting attention to the fact that I just had a wee. And I just thought, I can't catch her. She's too fast. There's no point. So have it. Like, I'm really into this idea of if someone overtakes you, 99% of the time it's because they're better than you, faster than you. So you might as well congratulate them instead of trying to crush their soul because they're better than you. So it's so well done. So that's what I did. And I was like, bye, I don't know who she is, but that's fine. I sort of waited for the next person to come. That didn't, really didn't bother me at all. Would it bother you?
It depends when in the race. So that early, probably not. But I was just trying to think whether I'd think the same, and I might not. You said 99% of the time. I think
Let's talk about edits.
I would maybe think, I hope they're making a mistake. I think they might be.
That's
I
what I think
think they've
about you
missed.
and our relationship.
I mean, that's obviously a mistake. It does depend a lot on the race. Like at UTMB, I'm used to having, I'd have 30 men ahead of me, but I would think 15 of them are going to DNF,
30 men ahead of you, eh? Four.
and
30 men in front of you. Any
yeah,
at the rear? Any taking up the rear?
I love it when men take me up the rear.
How many do you have up the rear?
Many.
Many men. Would you? I was kept thinking about success the whole time I was doing the run. I kept thinking about not. I didn't think about just the podcast, but I was thinking, is this a success? Am I doing the right thing? Like, does it feel like a success to me? And to be honest with you, it didn't really. During the
But
run,
hold on, what did you decide before the race would be a success?
I said on the podcast, didn't I? I said,
Well, I don't listen, you said.
I said, have a nice time. I
Oh.
can't remember what I said, but I did say to have a nice time to solve some problems, which I did. There were a number of problems that I managed to solve, and some that I managed to make worse, which was also good. So, learning curves. And I think, I can't remember, but it wasn't to do with positioning. So that never really came into it. And I kept thinking, what if I come like eighth? And I was like, I really don't really care. I honestly don't, I don't really care. What I cared about was how I felt, like physically and mentally, and I felt quite ill. I felt quite sick. It was really hard to, because it was so hot day one, and then day two it turned into spine weather. It was like pissing rain and wind and cold, and I found it really hard to manage myself, especially as I wasn't sleeping either.
But hold on, back to success, because I know you're tired, but you said you wouldn't have cared if you're eighth, but you also said you wanted to be top five. So if you
That
were.
was like a secret goal, but I wanted it, but I hadn't vocalized it because it wasn't important. It wasn't that important. It
Okay.
was one of my.
So it's lower down your list of
So
goals.
you know when I pick up the trophies and go, oh, I love this trophy. That's like a little sort of witchy manifestation of I want to have this. And sometimes, I've not told anyone this before. When I was doing my sessions, sometimes I would imagine what it would sound like for Kevin McCann to announce me as the winner of the race.
Wow.
Yeah. Sometimes I would think
Yeah.
that when they were
Oh,
really
that's
hard.
cool.
But then I kept that secret because I was like, that makes me sound like a narcissist. But that really helped me to perform in those sessions, and it made me think, this is how someone that has a possibility of winning a race like that would behave. And they would work hard in order to be able to do that. And there were certain aspects of that race that I had to pull on all those sessions that Holly had given me, like all the mental, like you can't do it, you can't do it, you can't do it, and be like, well, you can do it because you've done it in training. And it's not like, I'm not saying I didn't, I started running 6.5 minute miles for 1 minute and then running slow for a minute. I wasn't doing that. But that thing of you can't do this, like running in it to the end, I was like, I can't run fast into the end because my feet are so sore. But you fucking can run fast into the end. And if you could run fast into the end, you could have run a lot faster on the race. You could have. It's how you choose, isn't it? It's what you choose when you choose to use your power.
Well, tell us more about the race. So, Debbie, isn't it? She went past you into first. This is still the first day. What happened after you didn't let that affect you? You didn't mind?
Well, I pulled up my pants and I cracked on and didn't let it affect my life.
Okay.
Really?
And how was the first night?
What happened on the first night? Where were we?
When did it get dark? Were you up
Oh, for fuck's
Crossbar?
sake. Oh my God. So it was such a hot day. On the Spine Challenge in North, there are two high spots: Great Shunner Fell, which is the second highest spot on the race, and Crossfell, which is the highest spot on the race, and also the highest spot in the UK outside Scafell Pike. Am I right?
Outside the Lake District.
Yeah, outside the Lake District.
And officially the coldest place.
Yeah, and it's got its own weather station and its own wind, hasn't it?
Yeah, genuinely, yeah.
It's quite a frightening place. And if you go onto mountain, if you go and Google it. Google bad things that happen on Crossfell. You'll see some pretty bad things that happen on Crossfell. It's very probably the most I would not say inhospitable. You can't predict something. Unpredictable. I think it's probably one of the most unpredictable mountains in the UK. It's completely unpredictable.
Or if you're going to predict something, you're going to predict bad weather.
Yeah, you
But
are. We've done training courses up there in bad weather, haven't we?
yeah, horrendous weather, and it's definitely the place that people should rightfully fear the most on the whole route, I would
Yeah, and
think.
I kind of, even though I know you should fear it because we both have a mutual friend who died on Crossfell,
Yeah.
a very experienced runner. Like, still, it's not until it hands you your ass on a plate that you're like, fucking hell, this is really serious. And I was like, right, I was really pleased. I was on all my splits. I was having a really nice time. I was saying hello to everybody, and I was on time. In fact, I was 2 hours ahead of my predicted times. So I was like, this will be good because I thought I was going to go all the way up Crossfell. It takes fucking hours to get up there in the dark, but I'm going in the light. So off I went in my normal outfit And suddenly it got very dark and very claggy very quickly, like that, like finger clicky quick. I literally turned a corner and the wind was going, and I was struggling to put my waterproof trousers on, which is unusually a bit more belt and braces than that. And it was literally, can you call it white out when it's clag?
Yes,
Yeah, it
we
was,
just did.
it went from
Yeah.
I can see the observatory or the observation tower, whatever it's called, to nothing. I can't see my finger in front of my face. And the wind was probably 40 miles an hour. And then it started to rain and sort of half sleet. And the thing was, I wasn't anywhere near the summit of Crossfell. In fact, I was to the right of the observatory. So I still had a good 4 or 5 miles to get over it and to go back down. But usually, when you go over it and go back down, the clag clears, doesn't it? But it fucking didn't. And it was really frightening. And I was on my own and I had no one with me. And I couldn't, you put a head torch on, the head torch bounced off the clag in front of you so you couldn't see. So I had to hold the head torch at foot level. There's no path up there. You couldn't hear anything because the wind was so like mental. Everything's getting wet. You can't run because the wind is buffering you everywhere. And it was really frightening. And I know a lot of people had a really horrible experience up there. And there was a few people that helped other people who got stuck and were given time back. And a guy I was running with, Simon, he was a glasses wearer and he couldn't see anything. Oof. So he had to wait and he found this guy called Dave, who I ran with later, and Dave guided him over. But even when you got down to Greg's hut, which was moribund for this race. They don't do the chili noodles and stuff like they do in the winter. It's just a hut. They were all in there, like waiting for it to pass. And I was like, it's not going to fucking pass. I can see on my app it's not passing. But it wasn't until I got down to Garrigill. Is it Garrigill?
Yeah.
That it, suddenly it cleared. And it was just, I felt like I'd been holding my breath for 5 hours. It was horrible, really horrible. And that takes a lot out of you, doesn't it? The fear.
Yeah, a lot of extra energy calories burnt,
What's
and
the
you've
scariest
walked
you've ever
hard.
been on a mountain? And don't say when you've been out with me on a date.
I fell down a bit of a mountain one time. In New Zealand, when I was a bit foolish and didn't decided not to put my crampons on. So, but and slid, yes, slid down. But it wasn't the same sort of thing because you're not fearful. It just happened so quickly, and then I was like, "Oh my God, I'm alive! This feels amazing to be alive!" And I actually had a massive rush from it,
Oh,
and
that's
felt
so dangerous for
incredible.
you, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, and felt incredible for hours, if not the rest of the day. But then very, very tired. But so it wasn't a fear
What
thing.
time you went, you told me that you went out and you were bivvying or something, you fucked it
Oh.
up.
Oh, okay, seeing as you bring this up. So also in New Zealand, I am a Lord of the Rings geek, and I went looking for a Lord of the Rings location, up a mountain, and it got
What
very
a
claggy.
sexy thing to do.
This is a long time ago. I didn't have a proper map or a compass.
Girlfriend.
can't imagine why. And actually, anyway, yeah, and then it was all very similar in every direction, and I realized I didn't know which direction anymore, and every direction seemed to just not take me down the mountain. So that, and then I started to think, oh, I could be up here a long, long time, and all I have is a Mars bar and my flask of tea, and not many clothes actually. So I did actually start to sit down and go, well, I better just stay where I am. And then I was like, well, but then natural navigation, I remembered that the wind had been blowing from one direction from my left on the way up. And I thought, well, hold on, the wind doesn't change direction that much. So if I do the opposite of that, that might help. And I tried that, and I was okay.
I mean, what you could have done is taken a heel kit with you. It's just a thought.
This was a long time ago. Yeah, I was maybe
But
38,
I
39.
think we, when we do our workshops, we try and explain this to people. Like, we have like Lou and Kev, who are our mountain rescue buddies. We have Matt Neil, who's got extreme experience of bad weather conditions on those hills. But no matter how much you explain it, it's got to be experienced for people to actually take it on board, I think. Because I never cared for waterproof trousers until the day I needed to put on a pair of waterproof trousers, and it wasn't to keep me dry, it was to keep me warm. And I was wearing everything up there that I had, apart from my puffer. So all the mandatory kit came out of a bag, and it was put on apart from a puffer, and then it was all taken off again and exchanged for clean mandatory kit down the bottom.
So by the time you get to the bottom, are we talking like 3, 4 in the morning?
Yeah, oh fucking hell. And I was hungry because I hadn't been eating properly because I was so like weather, where you're going in the right direction, you know. So you stop eating, you stop doing the basics well because you're just basically surviving. And I'd made up in my head this little story about how Alston had moved into Garrigill. And so by the time you got down there, you'd basically be at Alston, which is the checkpoint where they have the lasagna and the hot beds and the nice warm showers. But Alston is 5.5 to 7 miles away from Garrigill, depending on who you believe. And I got down there, and there was a spine safety team guy down there, and he was like, "Yeah, it's about 7 miles." And I nearly punched him in the throat because I was like, "I'm so hungry and
Knock it
tired."
off, you should off.
Yeah, and there was nothing. There's not like there's a garage or anything there. I was so angry. I was voice noting Hannah Rickman. I was voice noting Mel. I was voice noting all the
Blaming them.
girls, blaming them. Yeah,
Yeah, rightly so.
Rickman. Did you move Alston?
I mean, she might have.
Yeah, that was a particular low. So I went into Alston with bad vibes. I'm sorry, everybody that was in Alston. I walked in there with a big bag of bad vibes and emptied them all over the floor.
Oh dear.
Yeah, and they griggled into everybody's ear holes and eye holes and bags.
Oh gosh. Everyone will be wanting to know, did you have the famous Alston lasagna?
I had two portions of lasagna.
Okay.
It was very nice. Then I was absolutely. Well, I was heartbroken, I think it's the only word I can use to describe the feeling I felt when I realized I had jacket potatoes as well. And I just had too much of lasagna. I much would have preferred jacket potato, but then I had two portions of lasagna. I was so keen on keeping my. Am I cutting your circulation off with my big fat, taller foot on your leg? I was so like. I have to keep to the times. I ate these two portions of lasagna, went straight upstairs. They were like, they put me in the room with Debbie. So I had to share a room with Debbie.
Ah, so you're going for sleep.
Yeah, so I was supposed to go for 90 minutes sleep because 90 minutes is my window, my sweet spot. I just laid there thinking, when's Debbie going to get up? Or Debbie's got up, Debbie's left. That behaviour is not helpful to me at all because I'm not on Debbie's schedule, I'm on Bailey's schedule. I don't know Debbie, never met her, and I don't know what she's doing. And, she was leading the race, and I just laid there on this blue, wipe clean mattress with no pillow, with two portions of lasagna in my belly, staring at the ceiling. That's not sleeping, is it?
No. Do you think if
No.
you had a jacket potato, you'd have slept?
I had a jacket potato, it would have been a different story. I would have been dreaming of little fat hippos and laughing and dancing. But I didn't. I was full of concrete lasagna and dreams of.
Concrete lasagna. Yeah, easy.
It was
This
lovely
stuff's
lasagna.
world famous.
It was nice lasagna, but I had two portions into quick succession and they weren't sitting right and they were making gurgling
Who was
noises.
it who told me they had four portions? Can't remember.
Probably G-Law. That's the sort of thing G-Law will pull off.
Anywho,
Bloody horse's face, you know, Dixie. Ultra
oh,
Dixie's the sort of guy that would have eight portions of Alston
and
lasagna, isn't
it wouldn't even touch the
he? Yeah.
sides.
Poor lad.
So
Alston little lad.
you got no sleep there, or a little bit.
Maybe about 3 minutes.
Okay, so you got up how long after Debbie?
Not long, maybe like 5 minutes, 6 minutes.
Right,
She'd gone.
to chase her down.
No, I wasn't going to chase her down.
Is it light by now?
No. What
Okay.
time did I leave?
Well, I don't know.
I'll tell you what time I left. Do you know what? Open
It's
tracking.
not crucial. It's just whether it's not
No,
light or
it's
dark.
interesting for me because I just like to know. Open tracking, if you go on the open tracking app, when you're following people, it has dwell time at checkpoints.
Yes.
There's no hiding.
So you leave Alston, that's the first major, sorry, second major checkpoint you would come to. Then what happened?
Alston, my dwell time was 2 hours and 46 minutes.
Sloppy. Right.
No, it's not sloppy because I get in there and I had a shower, very quick shower. Because it makes me feel really nice and clean. Shower, put my new kit on, didn't put pajamas on or anything. Had two bits of lasagna, got in bed, laid there for what I was going to be 90 minutes. So I probably did 45 minutes of laying there, not doing anything. And then I left. I went downstairs and I had half a bowl of porridge. Oh, and then when I got down there, Kate came in, one of the other female runners, and she had like this gaggle of girls, and they all had a real adventure on the hill. And I was really jealous because they were all having a really nice time and I'd just been lonely by myself.
Oh.
Yeah. And then I left. And it was I left at six oh no, I didn't leave. I went in there at 3 o'clock in the morning on Tuesday. So I left at 5 o'clock in the morning on Tuesday.
So it was like that then, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So that's an interesting little microcosm there, isn't it? It's like almost the sort of fun, pure fun experience where you could have just run with lots of other fun people.
This is the thing, right? Because there was no way I was going to run with other people. This was a test of fitness for me, and a test of how much I'd improved on the Holly scale. And I wanted to be the best version of myself, and that involved solving problems, feeling really strong, as strong as I could feel. I knew I was going to feel weak at certain points, or like frustrated or whatever. But the major thing for me is solving problems, because if I can solve a problem, it means that my brain's working right, which means I'm eating properly, and that I can handle the stress of the situation, and that makes me proud of myself. And if I can turn things around, that makes me proud of myself. And I sent Hannah Brickman a voice note at one point because I nearly gave up. Oh, fuck, I came so close to throwing the towel in.
Did you?
Yeah.
Why?
Because I hated it, I hated all of it. I hated it. Day two, the weather was completely different. For the minute I left Alston, it started to rain, and it wasn't just a little bit of rain. It was that squalling, Pennine Way, insidious hot rain. That's like being in someone's shower, you know, like it's mouldy rain. And it was too hot to wear your coat, but you're getting soaked. And it was going through these fields where the ferns are like. And then you don't get this winter spine, you don't get the vegetation. And I don't laugh at me, smirking. Head-height ferns are a thing because they soak you. When there's loads of them, they go into your jacket and they soak you through. And they go down your pants and into your bra or into your bag. And like running through the night with like calf-length thorn bushes that go on for 2.5 miles that aren't there in the winter is very different. And my legs are scratched to fuck. And it's just like ow, 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 ow for like hours. And the vegetation is all very different and a bit more annoying. The nettles are high. When it's raining like that, I just hated it. And I'd only eaten half my porridge because I was sad and didn't have any friends. So that was my first fail. And I just thought, I fucking hate this. I don't like this. I don't like it. I hate it.
Well, that whole section is no one's favorite section. It's sort of fiddly. It's fiddly, and I'm
It's where you're like right by a road and a wall, and it's like wriggling its way around, like because it's wriggling its way around a tuft
and
for
there are
no
lots of
reason.
farm fields that are sort of on a slight slope, and they're a bit muddy or rutted, and it's
And then
just a
it's like,
bit
let's
unsatisfying.
go across this wall. I'm gonna come back across the other wall. I'll go back across that wall again.
Yeah.
Just run next to the wall for a bit. Go back over the same wall. There's a lot of that. It's bollocks.
Still, there's always Slaggyford.
Well, then you have to go to Slaggyford.
Hey, I'm not have a word against Slaggyford.
There's nothing in Slaggyford. There isn't a shop.
Oh, Peter, you will upset people.
Who? What, one of the five people that live there?
There's six, possibly seven.
Were they all related to each other?
I'm not going to speculate. So when I ran down the Pennine Way in the summer once, ran through there, and they'd all it felt like they'd all turned out to wave me through, and someone shouted, "Remember Slaggyford!" So I do. And also there is a Slaggyford angel.
Remember Slaggy.
Yeah, so I do. So I won't have a word against Slaggyford. So there's a Slaggyford angel who may or may not leave things around or be there to
She
give you
wasn't
gifts.
fucking being very
Yeah,
angelic when I was
or
there.
he. Also, I did DNF the spine 1 year not far north of Slaggyford, and someone from Slaggyford, actually one of the angels, there are two, there are a couple, noticed my tracker wasn't moving and came to pick me up, and
That's not weird.
I sat in his car. Isn't that weird?
When you say you sat in his car, do you mean you were locked in the boot?
Yeah, that's fine, isn't it? I can't really remember what happened, but it was really nice. So I'll not have a word. There's three reasons there why I'll not have a word said against Slaggyford, but and obviously the excellent name. So do carry on.
Forget Slaggyford.
Well, I haven't. I'd like to make that clear to everyone, especially to those seven of you who live in Slaggyford, who may or may not be listening. But
There's a place
so
called Shiplington Tops as well, isn't
there's
there?
a Shitlington Hall
That's it.
and crags.
I visited Shiplington Hall a few times.
Oh gosh. So hold on, talking of Blenkinsop. So I would win. I would say to you how notorious Blenkinsop is.
It's up near Slaggyford.
Yeah.
So Blenkinsop is like this moor, and just before you get on it, there's this house, and it looks like the sort of house.
Oh, Rasta Ralph.
Yeah, but his name is actually not Rasta Ralph, it's Stuart, isn't it? He's a YouTuber.
What? No, he's Rasta Ralph.
Yeah, his name's Stuart.
Don't
And
do
he's
this
got
to
all
me.
these like caravans, and there's loads of ducks and loads of ducklings, and also sometimes he's having a barbecue, and you can't help but think, where's that meat come from? But he wasn't around when I was
Oh.
there. But that sort of marks this, that's like the gateway to Blenkinsop, wasn't
Yeah,
it?
that's the proper start of Blenkinsop. There is a bit of a gap between Slaggyford and but not far.
Don't know what Blenkinsop is. What would you say Blenkinsop is made out of?
Water. Well, there's some mud in the water. There's some soil. There's some dirt in the water there sometimes.
But it's not just water, is there? There's long bits growing out of it, like
Oh,
spiky
reeds. Yeah,
reeds.
and but the whole, it's one of those places where, at its best slash worst, the whole ground moves. Like you look in both directions, it's all moving. Normally, that's more common in the winter, but you sounds like, and used to you when you ran
I
you, when you ran
love
through it
it.
with the girl band, you were
Yeah.
like, wow, Blenkinsop's fun.
Because it is fun when you've got a nice warm pair of socks at home and
But when you're on your own and it's wet and dark, it's quite a. Alfred Wainwright hated it, although that does sort of make me want
why
to
did we
like
put
it.
the Pennine Way through it then?
He didn't invent the he
Who
didn't
did
invite the
then?
Pennine Way. Tom Stevenson.
Well, he's a prick.
Oh, careful. Careful now.
Does he live in Slaggyford?
Where were we? So Blenkinsop. Good fun.
I like Blenkinsop because I like that sort of slightly wildness about it. Pickle Pickle
Oh,
really
it's
likes
very
being
bleak.
good.
Yeah, very
And they do
bleak.
that thing where they put those weird raised wooden platforms in some places, but not all.
Yeah.
Like, as if there's a. My two favourite things about the bogs of the Pennine Way, that, and then on Slatehome, the deep bog signs, the deep hole signs. They say, deep hole, keep left. And there's this big black hole. And it's like, how deep is that hole? It just makes you want to throw someone in it to see on a string to see how far deep it would be. But yeah, it's like, why is there bits of wood on here and not on other bits? But it's not that big either, old. I'll tell you what, there's some fucking aggressive cows in that field, and I'm bringing this up more as well.
My friend Tim Laney ran into one of them once in the winter race in the dark.
Did he?
Daisy, yeah.
They're so aggressive. They
Well,
were
they miss
chasing
they.
me. I was wearing a red jacket. They were chasing me, and I had
They're,
to turn
well,
around and tell
he's
them.
made them aggressive, and they're trying to get the revenge ever since. Who knows what he really did to that cow, that poor cow. So Blenkinsop, and we're nearly at Greenhead now,
God, sorry, everybody. If
and
you
then.
live near Greenhead, I'm sorry, but all these places are kind of weird, almost
They're very small
like
places.
village towns. I tell you what, Alston. If anyone's ever seen The League of Gentlemen, Alston was the inspiration for The League of Gentlemen. That sums up that part of the world, doesn't it? Local towns for local people. We'll have no trouble here. Remember Slaggyford!
I'm not going much further into this conversation because I wrote a guidebook for the Pennine Way, and I love most of the Pennine Way, but
Well,
there are
what
some
if
interesting places. Yes,
the Pennine Way,
there are a lot.
Thomas, whatever his face, didn't run past many shops, did he? Didn't go past the co-op, did he? He didn't love running past the co-op, did he?
He packed his sandwiches like a good boy at the beginning of the day.
Yeah, but I need sandwiches, and there was nowhere to get sandwiches.
Yikes.
Yeah, but there's a new cafe at Walltown, everybody. Walltown's great. Walltown
So,
is brilliant.
for those who don't know, we're now on the Hadrian's Wall. What
You
did
run through
that?
Greenhead, you like bypass it.
Yeah.
You went over the road, and then you get to this place called Walltown, which is like
Yeah.
a car park with
Clear.
really nice toilets and a nice new playground for children and new cafe.
How many miles have we done now?
Walltown is about 90 miles in because the 100 mile mark on my race comes as you get turn off Walltown to go on to off to Kirk at home. That was the 100
Oh,
mile
turn off
mark.
the wall.
Yeah, so if you were doing the spine, it would be 200 miles in. If you're doing the full spine, it'd be about 200 miles in.
And is it dark again yet?
No.
Okay, but we're talking.
It's the Tuesday, which is the day it was raining, but then in the afternoon it decided to get boiling.
Sounds a bit like you're fed up, whatever the weather is.
Because I just was wet and then everything was hot.
But your goal was to have a fun, nice time.
Well, I was hungry and I felt sick.
Okay.
And I also felt like I was the slowest person on the course and I was the last person on the course because I couldn't see anyone else. because I was at the front. And
Second woman, weren't you? Second woman.
at that point, I was second woman, yeah. And there was no one. It's funny how quickly it stretches out, isn't it? It's so lonely. There's no one to talk to, and you're out. It's hours and hours. It's like you're doing a 20-minute mile around over Hadrian's Wall because it's up, down, up, down, up, down. What was Hadrian thinking? What an idiot.
I mean, if you want the really boring answer, he's used the natural geography of the land. He didn't. He
God.
didn't. He didn't actually build most of those bits.
He's an
But
idiot.
that sounds like quite a geeky response. So anyway, you're loving Hadrian's Wall. You're loving life. You're loving the race.
If
You're.
I had have one song going through my head, it was that "All by Nashville" song.
And you finally turn off Hadrian's Wall. Turn north.
No, I did lots of really bad things on Hadrian's Wall. I did
Bad
like to.
things. Oh gosh, tell us the bad things.
I know I had a little nap. I got busy for 10 minutes. I thought about quitting the race. I hated
Yeah.
it. I got really hot. I felt sick. I wasn't eating properly. I had too much sweet stuff in my bag, like, and everything I put in my mouth just tasted gross. I just had a really horrible time and kept thinking, oh my God, it's so far to the end, which is not helpful because you should be in the mile that you're in, not miles you might not get to.
Right. Great.
And then when I went to turn off, I remembered Jack Scott saying that when you turn at that point, you actually feel like you're finishing the race because you're going towards Scotland.
I'm not sure anyone should take advice from Jack Scott over the next section of the route.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Although I'm very
Because what he actually
glad.
meant was when you turn, you feel like you could cheat and no one would find out. He doesn't think that, everybody, that was a joke.
Is it? Yeah, no, I like that moment. I like that moment. And also, apparently, Game of Thrones is based historically, the wall is based on Hadrian's Wall.
Right, it's not
And
very.
you're going north of the wall. So it's pretty cool, that idea.
I slept north of, I bivvied north of the wall because I climbed over it instead
Oh
of.
my God.
Oh, I climbed over the wall.
Yep.
Yeah, it was great.
Okay. So that next section is quite barren, actually. Well, there's some words
Is
and
that
it's
section
boggy.
bloody lovely if you can run it? But what had happened was my feet had got very wet and then very hot, and everybody on the course's feet had got very wet and then very hot. And I was changing my socks at every location, but like everybody else, my feet had got very wet and very hot, which had led to, and then, and also my shoes had come off 3 or 4 times in bogs, and I had to pull my shoe out of the bog. Which meant that the bog had got into my sock and into my little soft trotters. So no matter how much sex lube you put on your feet, and no matter how much you look after your feet, you're going to end up with a couple of blisters. You're going to end up with sore feet from like being wet and hot inside your shoes for like 14 hours at a time. But you can't just keep changing your socks, can you? You don't have shoes to change into. Your shoes are always
Well,
wet.
that's it. Yeah, the shoes are wet, so it's almost
So
pointless.
they were very unhappy and they felt sore at the bottoms. And
Ouch.
everybody was complaining about the soreness on the bottoms, it's like burning. And I think it's because it was very wet, but it was also very hard because it had been dry. So the top level surface area was wet, but the mid layer of the soil is still hard and dry. So you're wet and your feet are hitting that surface and it's just irritating them. And so running was very, very painful down those hills. And that really got in my head and started to piss me off because I'd run those hills in the Reckies. And it was starting to annoy me a bit. Made me sad.
So wet, warm, and hard is a bad combination, folks.
Wet, warm, and
Okay,
hard is
so and we
bad.
have heard, yeah, it does feel like anecdotally more people have foot problem. Well, I mean, most people get some sort of foot problem, but it feels like this is a bad year for feet because of that combination.
Yeah,
But
because when they get hot, they swell, so they'll hit the outside of your feet, of your shoes, and that can give you blisters too, as
yeah.
they're trying to get out of their little shoey prison. My feet are in absolute shit state, and I'm embarrassed of them because I don't think it's a badge of honour. I think it's a badge of stupidity. But I can't see how I could have looked after them better because I was changing my socks, drying them at every opportunity. I presented them to a medic. I had them taped, but just made them worse and.
It'd be interesting because we did discuss maybe waterproof socks, but if it was so warm, they would have giving you wet feet anyway, and possibly that's even worse. Like,
They can be quite restrictive, waterproof socks, can't they? They can be quite tight.
yeah.
And I think my feet would have just got too hot. I don't really know what else I could have done, but it got to the point where I could feel blisters popping. And I think I said to you at one point, I sat down in the field opposite Rasta House and tried to like sort out fleecy webbing my feet without drying them. It was raining. It was like a comedy sketch from a farce show. It was really awful. Like, it was never going to work. I don't know what I was doing. You can't stick tape onto wet feet. But that was the beginning of the end and of them being so fucking sore. I can't explain how sore they were. They were so sore.
Ouch.
And I was taking quite a lot of drugs to try and unsore them, but it wasn't taking even coming close to taking the edge off it. It made life difficult for the rest of that race.
What I find the problem is, if once you've got some sort of discomfort, is the mind, it's hard to stop the mind just honing in on that and just thinking about that all the time.
I said to Laura and Sarah, honestly, having the girls on WhatsApp was so fucking helpful because obviously Laura has done the spine a number of times, summer and winter. Sarah's done winter and is really experienced and very positive. Then you got Hannah as well. I had Hannah when I was, and Sam was sour as well, and Melly, all the good ones. Kirsty was really helpful. And so I was like, I feel like doing this. And I said about my feet, and Laura was like, yeah, my feet got like that on the summer spine. So do you know what she did? This is a classic Laura.
Didn't she just bin her shoes off or
She
something
took her shoes and socks off and tried to run over the
jogged
Cheviot
it in barefoot?
with no shoes and socks on.
Out,
She was like,
wow.
don't do that. Don't do that. I wouldn't do that, darling. But she was very, just to know someone else has had that experience and knows what you're talking about and this can be sympathetic. You're not asking someone to solve the problem, you just ask them to be sympathetic. And it was very frustrating because I felt like I could run more, but on certain surfaces, especially rocks, you know, there's moving rocks. That was literally, I felt like it was bashing at the blisters and popping them
Ow.
and like dragging the skin off the top of the bottom of my foot. It wasn't, but that's what it felt like. And I mean, they're not looking great now, are they? My little fat feet.
I think they look quite funny, but that sounds awful. That does sound awful. That's really tough.
Funny.
So we haven't got a Hornistead Farm, another excellent place name.
Hornistead Farm said it was 4 miles away, but it was seven. Mathletics. It's the longer you go on these races for, the longer the time stretches out and the harder it is to like not get angry with time.
What do you remember towards the end of the Northern Traverse? Do you remember how angry I was about certain
Oh my God, I was so
signs?
angry about what was it?
Yeah.
Hawksa?
Horsca.
Horsca, yeah.
Yeah. But it's amazing.
Your
You don't
face should
notice.
change.
Well, I remember the horrors of Horsca. But it's funny, early on in the race, you barely notice, do you? You barely.
Oh, whatever, that's just 5 miles. That's 5 miles. I do 5 miles all the time, but then you're like, it said 1.76 miles, and now it's
Yeah.
been 1.78, and I still can't see it. Yeah.
Yeah, at times I've been marching along or jogging along, like almost counting the steps. Right, that's got to be a kilometre.
Oh my
That's
God.
got to
And
be a
checking
kilometre.
OS maps, then checking Garmin Connect, then checking like your
Yeah,
watch of how long it's got left. And saying things like, oh, I forgot to start my watch at the beginning. I started it 0.2 miles into the run. So that's going to be wrong. Like, it's mad, isn't it?
so
Yeah, and Hornistead could not come quick enough. And when I got
was
there,
Helen there? What was
yeah, oh my
Helen?
God, it's so
Oh.
nice. So Hornistead is like a big farm and it's got a little outbuilding with a bed, a skanky old bed, some like fridges. It's got everything you can imagine it's got. So they make a cup of tea, they make a cup of coffee, it's got Fanta, it's got sweets, it's got biscuits, it's got cakes, there's an honesty box, and she'd made ham and cheese rolls, cheese and coleslaw rolls, loads of stuff because she knew it was a spine. She'd left it all out, and all you needed to do was fill in the book and just put a fiver in. And I spoke to her for a while. She gave me a cuddle. I sort of laid on the bed for like probably 5 seconds. I was like, no. I need to get to Bellingham and have a proper sleep. But it's just nice to have some comfort. And her husband was there. He's lovely. Have you met him?
I don't think I have
I feel like
actually.
his
I've
name's
met Helen
Frank.
many times, but maybe not him. But just for a bit more context on Helen, she was inspired by the AIM Trail Angels in America because she's
Oh, is
hiked.
she?
Yeah, I think she's possibly even hiked the big three trails in America, which are obviously much longer than the Pennine Way. I think she's done all three, and it's possibly one of the first ever Brits or certainly ever British women to have done all three. I think so. I mean, we do have conversations when I'm incredibly tired, but
Then
yeah,
unlike you, because usually you're rude and you just go straight
I
past,
think by that
like
stage,
Nikki at Nikki's Cap on the whatever it is
I
near my
don't go
house.
there. Yeah, no.
We have to go there for lunch one day because you never stop there because it's
Nikki's
30
Food
quid.
Bar. Yeah.
It's so nice in Nikki's Food
It's
Bar.
just too soon.
They do a banging
Too soon,
vegan
Nikki.
burger as well.
But yeah, she's inspired by this culture of yeah, helping out on long trails. And when she did, I think the Appalachian Trail, Appalachian, depending on where you are.
Appalachian.
It depends where you are on the trail. They say it differently on different
What does
parts.
John Kelly say at the moment?
I've forgotten exactly where he is at the moment, but it changes about halfway from one to the other. Anywho, she wanted to bring a bit of that culture, that angel culture, back to Britain, and it is one of the most special moments of the Pennine Way or the Spine Race.
You can go there, listen, whenever you want. It's open 24 hours a
Yeah,
day, 7 days a week to
it's open for
anyone.
anyone doing the Pennine Way, not just for the spine. But she makes such an effort; it's incredible. And well, I've been trying to pay her at times, and she's refused the money. I've had to wait till her back's turned and slide. So she doesn't do it for profit or anything at all. She just loves the culture of helping people.
There's
So
a
it's lovely.
really great photo that Tom Hoyle took of me and all the girls sitting in there, which I
Is it up in
said,
there?
no, I said to Helen, I've got a
Oh.
copy of this, so I've actually framed it. I keep forgetting to send it to her. So as soon as I get back, I'm going to send it to her to put on the wall because it's a really lovely picture. And it really is a, I mean, this makes me sound like a narcissist, but it's a who's who of British female ultra running all sat on that bed. Like, we had such a good laugh in there. It was really lovely. And yeah, it's just. It's like a, it's like if you put a camera in there, it'd be like a story of like hopes and dreams and failures and wins
Do you
and.
know what? I'd love to see them do that one year, actually.
Oh,
Just
me
leave it
too. But
running.
just for a whole year, people that's
Yeah.
walking. Because I met a dude on the way out. He was walking towards me. He's young. He must have been 23. And he's like, and I'm like, hello. And I look like shit. He's like, are you doing the Pennine Way? And I'm like, a bit of it. He's like, I'm doing the whole thing. And he was so. It must have been like in
And
his 20s.
he
And
was fairly fresh if
he's
you're
like,
going south, yeah.
that's really nice. There's a lady called Helen. She's brilliant. And I'm like. Doing, mate? Like, what are you doing? I met some really young men on the spine. One of them was 23, a guy called Jack was doing my race, and I was like, what's wrong with you? Why are you doing this? He told me it was a balance out his drinking, so I just slid a copy of my book into his bag.
Yeah, but it's one of, yeah, and it comes at a really good moment because it's after quite a bleak section, and it just still feels like there's still a bit of a way to go to Bellingham,
Well, there's 7 miles.
which at that stage is a long way, and really that's 9 miles, isn't it? Probably.
Yeah.
Anywhere, anywho, so you didn't stay too long at Hornistead then, so
No,
not much.
I kept saying I'm gonna have a nap and then I didn't.
Okay.
I wouldn't say I was worried about time, I was worried about the best use of my time.
Okay.
And also I'm not really used to just napping. Like the first time I got my bivvy out on Adrian's Wall, I was like, I have to do this because I'm going to fall over. I get so tired, I feel like I'm gonna fall over. I can't remember my
Did
own
you actually get
name.
your bivy bag out?
Yep.
Wow.
Got my bivvy out, got in it. You would hate this. I couldn't even take my shoes off, so I just thought I should go in there with my shoes on. Like, it's a bit.
Gosh.
Lay down on the grass, and it zips up right around your head, so it's like a mosquito net around your head. And I just remember laying there, and just it was silent apart from birds. Silent. No roads, no cars. Hadrian's Wall. Oh my God, it was so nice. And I had probably 7 minutes sleep, but like one very deep minute, and then out again. And it just woke me up. It just made me feel better. I did that this morning on the Cheviots.
Hold on. Okay, so right, leaving Hornistead, and then you get to Bellingham. This is where the drama unfolds. You get to Bellingham, am I right in thinking about 5 or 6 o'clock?
The drama unfolds.
Well, you're second woman approach getting to Bellingham.
But just, can you just, I don't care. I honestly don't care. I'm pleased that I'm doing well against my peers. I appear to be doing well. I appear to be in a situation where I can hold my own. Right? But I don't really care. If someone's going to overtake me, I will say, well done, you're better than me. That's perfect. Well done. It doesn't bother me. Honestly, I said this to you before. I'm not chasing first. I'm trying to stay away from third.
Yes, but when you left Bellingham, having moved into first place, how did you
No,
feel?
I thought when I was at Bellingham, I went for a sleep. Again, I laid there for 1 hour. I didn't go to sleep. My feet were a shit state, and the medic was like, dry them out and then come and see me again. So I went to see him. My dwell time at Benidorm was 2 hours, and that included a big meal of food and my having my feet done and, in inverted commas, sleeping in a tent. I remember there's full kit checks whenever you leave a checkpoint at home, which takes another 10 minutes.
Full kit check.
Pretty much, yeah. They've got about eight, seven, or eight places at each place, different ones as well.
Wow.
I thought they'd all gone. I thought, while I've been laying down, all the women in the race had come in and gone. Because I wasn't looking at the tracker. I didn't know what was going on. I just assumed. I was like, I'm probably behind now, but never mind. But then Sharon, the checkpoint, he was like, nah, those four bags, those are the only people that have been in, and they're all men. Because Debbie had unfortunately had to pull out, and I'm still not sure why. And third lady hadn't come in yet. So then, and when I left, that's when I knew I was first. But that was the first time in the race that I was like, you're first, and there's no one can touch you because literally second has just come in. She's gonna have to have something to eat and have to spend at least 15 minutes there. But she's gonna have to have a kit check to leave.
How did that feel?
Like I've been handed a golden ticket.
Oh, really? So it didn't
Yeah,
feel.
no, I was like, I've got a golden ticket. I got a golden ticket because my feet had been all like padded up. I'd eaten, I'd had rice and rice pudding and half a jacket potato. And it was a road out there, and I know the way. It's quite a complicated
And we've
road.
still got going that way. How long left to go?
41
Still
miles.
forty. Yeah, blimey. All right.
But I was like, I've got a golden ticket. And I thought, I'm going to get out of here as quickly as possible. And get as far ahead as I possibly can to put a gap between me and second, because this could be the dream. I'm only going to have this chance once. I really honestly thought you'd only have this chance once. So I got. You kept referring to it as kilometres because I think you're looking at OS, but I got 6 miles ahead of her before she left. And I was like, you can't. I don't think you can make that up. I couldn't see how she could make that up, and I thought it's sleep. Which I wasn't planning on doing. And I knew that part of the course really well, and it was dark, but I knew it really well, so I was able to not fuck up navigation, and I ended up getting about 10 miles ahead of her. But it's quite funny because I start looking behind me. Sorry, everyone. I start looking behind me for the head torches, and it's quite easy to do up there because you're quite high. I
Yeah.
couldn't see them. And
But also, there was one man who had left that checkpoint anyway. So, if you've seen a head torch. But I've been confused by that before because of the different, and different races as well. Well, for me.
But I'd eaten and I felt all right, and then my feet felt right for a couple of miles, and then they started to hurt again because obviously you can strap them all you want, but that strapping is going to get wet and move, and so they start getting worse and worse and worse. But I just worked out that I didn't think that anyone could catch me unless I fell asleep, so I just didn't go to sleep. I had 5 minutes on Cheviot, I had 8 minutes in Burness Church before I went up the Cheviot. I was so tired, I started to proper hallucinate really fucking awfully mundane things. Like, I got a new best imaginary friend who was running with me, who I was having conversations with, and this is your fault, who was because the imaginary friend was me. And I was convinced for like 7 hours I was running with someone. And I was convinced I was in Germany. I was running down German tracks towards Blauerplunkt Street, which is where I was going to get some water, but actually it wasn't Blauerplunkt Street, it was Burness, where John Bamber was with some water, because you had to take 2 litres up over the Cheviot because there wasn't any water up there, so they made sure you had 2 litres before you left Burness. And I just was like explaining to my imaginary friend that we needed to run on this part because it was runnable, and I said this in a I've made a load of videos which I put on Instagram, because I stayed away from Instagram, stayed away from my phone, stayed away from all of it for 3 days. At one point, the imaginary me was really constipated and needed to go for a poo, and so I had to help the imaginary me pull a poo out of their bum. But I didn't
Right.
actually pull a poo out of my bum, but I was trying to explain to the imaginary me how to do it.
Okay.
Wait, you know when you ran with imaginary you,
Yeah, we didn't get to
what are you
that
talking
scenario.
about?
We
Was
didn't.
it just like a malevolent, almost like a malevolent shadow chase, like with you? Like you were definitely with someone.
It was more like, do you think we're meant to go down that way? Yeah, it's definitely that way. Oh, okay.
It was really disconcerting feeling. And by the time I got to where John was, I just came in and he was like, "You okay?" And I was like, "No, I need to lay down." And I was gonna lay down in his little white tent, but then he was like, "Go to church." He didn't want anything to do with me. He made me a lovely instant coffee and told me to fuck
Understandably.
off.
Okay.
So I went down to the church and just laid on the pews for a bit, and then imaginary me vanished, but then came back when I was going up to Cheviots. It was like a really unnatural feeling that I was being watched or that somebody was with me.
Was there a sprint finish between you and imaginary you? Who won
Imaginary me faded
the
out a
cup?
little bit,
Okay.
but I kept thinking my feet weren't mine and they belonged to the medic that take them. They were his feet, and I was looking after them for him, and I was really embarrassed with them. And I just kept saying to imaginary me, "Have you had enough to eat? Are you okay?" It was really fucking weird, and I just felt so discombobulated. But honestly, to not sleep for that long for me is a big deal. I still feel fucked now, and I've had, what, an hour?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything else to report further from the Cheviots, the last section? But for those who don't know, it's a sort of 25, 26 mile stretch of really remote big hills right on the borders with Scotland, but some of it's in Scotland. There's two little emergency huts which do have some staff in, but other than that, you just see
Goat.
goats, a few goats, but it's the it's a tough section and it's the most remote bit right at the end. But it's quite it, on a good in good weather. It's pretty
It's
thrilling.
beautiful in good weather, but when it's bad weather, I imagine it's absolutely horrendous because it's quite bleak up there. It's very exposed, isn't it?
Very,
There's no trees.
But you had a beautiful sunrise, I think.
We had a beautiful sunrise, very windy up there. And I just wanted it to be over. I just wanted it to be over, and I felt very lonely on this race because I've never been at the front of a race like that before. Where I had it actually last year on the Challenger South. I was talking to you a lot, voice noting you a lot, and I've always voice noting my mates a lot because I felt quite lonely. And I think I do need to make decisions about races as to whether or not I go and do it for social or do it for a, I'm going to go see what I can do, because I did miss that banter a lot, and I got quite sad when I realised other people had like little friendship groups and little banter groups, and I didn't have any groups. Maybe it's a bit sad because I felt like I was missing out a little bit. But when it comes to like success, obviously the result is what the result is, and I'm not bothered about it, except I think that's a once in a lifetime thing, and I'm not sure I'll ever win another Spine race. And to say you won a Spine race, I think, is a big CV tick. For me, it makes me feel like I'm being taken a bit more seriously. I don't want to be taken that seriously, but I want to feel like I can stand amongst my peers without feeling like an imposter. And it wasn't like I won it with a 90-hour time. I did a fucking great time, did a 53-hour time, and I'm pleased with that. Comparable to other people's times for that course. So I'm really pleased with myself. And yeah, and all that hard work paid off. But I think one of the things that's annoying me a bit is that you and Holly, you keep saying you're not bang average, or people saying you're not bang average. But I am bang average as a runner. I just really work hard. I'm not putting myself down. I'm telling you, I work hard, really hard, and I do everything I'm supposed to do. And even though it is hard, and I'm not naturally good at it, and don't have that background, if you do the actual work and you do it consistently, you can get to that point where you can achieve stuff like that. You don't have to be a fucking, you don't have to have done this your whole life. And I think that's a really important thing to say. Like, I'm not putting myself down. That was the best of Bailey. That was the very best I could do. I could probably take a couple of hours off my feet and business or.
I think it's a wonderful, inspiring lesson to people, isn't it? About working hard. And look what might happen. Nice one.
Look what might happen.
Look what might happen.
Nothing. Nothing actually happens, does it?
Well, you didn't even get a trophy, did you? It's going to be sent in the post because they do engrave it with your name on and your time sent
Yeah,
in the
but
post.
like nothing happened.
I think
Which is
yes and
really
no.
interesting winning a race, isn't it? Because someone, one of my athletes said to me, "Oh, you could put your prices up there." No, I can't. And I wouldn't. Why would you put your prices up? Because you've won a race.
So there is quite a lot of it's not uncommon for people who get Olympic medals to get some depression afterwards. There are studies in it now. It's not it's not sort of surprising or uncommon now. However, I would say, I don't know, there is a level of satisfaction I think you can take from, the
The
outcome.
satisfaction is everything I've done in my training has worked. My legs are super strong. They did not let me down. I could, if my feet hadn't been that sore, I could have easily run down the shill. They don't ache. There's nothing wrong with me. My neck's burnt. My feet are fucked. You know, when you've been sitting down a bit and your legs are a bit creaky, but it's a long time. It was 53 hours out with hardly any sleep. Don't underestimate the power of sleep, because even laying down was, my glutes were really sore. And then I'd lay down for half an hour, get up, and they'd be not sore anymore. I'd down a Huel or a protein drink, and they wouldn't be sore anymore. And all that work Pete and Holly have helped me with has worked. The fucking proof's in the pudding. I haven't magically got magically good at it overnight. It's taken 3 years. So, and I feel a lot more confident for Dragon's Back now, like much more confident. That if I can make, I kept thinking about the 100 mile time, 108 mile time, because last year it was 37 hours for me, and I did 107 miles on a harder course in 32 hours on a longer race, this one. And that's a big chunk off, isn't it? So it gave me a lot of confidence. And it's not to do with magic, and it's not to do with manifestation, and it's not to do with being a witch, and it's not to do with luck. It's to do with fucking hard work. And that's what most people are missing. And even I see it even with some of my athletes. They just think believe, achieve. Belief is important, but if you maybe believe that you can do the work, that's better than believing you can achieve something that is out of your grasp because you're not doing the work.
Sure.
It's funny how we
Yes.
do that with running, we don't do it with other things. You know, like you wouldn't believe you could be a brain surgeon and just do it, would you? Or believe you could be a maths professional and just do it. You'd learn how to do maths, you'd learn how to do brain surgery.
Yeah, well, nice one. How are we celebrating?
Do you want to have another look at my feet?
Oh,
And also, you
yeah.
can make me some food, Sean.
Yes.
And lastly, how was your race? You did a race at the weekend.
Oh, I had a little jog. Yep. Yeah, went well, was fine, thank you. I did a 50K in the Banau Brecheniog, well, in the Black Mountains.
That's brutal. 50K.
You wouldn't understand.
She run that.
I was out for ages. I got quite tired. My feet, they didn't really hurt actually,
No, because
but
you
my
got bad
legs hurt a
shoes.
little bit. Yeah, it was really tough. I don't think you'd really appreciate.
Was it a
You wouldn't really
success?
understand
People
because
should describe it as a success.
you're just a like a little woman. You probably wouldn't understand what it's like for the
Do a nail
Banau.
varnish chip.
I'd say arguably worse than that.
Oh.
Arguably. Yeah, so that was good fun. Thanks. That was good fun.
That
But
was a limitless trail one, wasn't it?
yep.
A good limitless trail. I think I
They're
might
really
be on in
good.
August, the
Yeah, I'd really
Blank
encourage
one.
people to look at, they've really, even though I know that Banau Brecheniog, especially the eastern side, really, really well, like I still find new little routes and new little paths. But this one went over my very favourite place in the whole national park, which is Cat's Back Ridge, which is
We're not going on Cat's Back Ridge.
no.
We're not.
No, not yet, no.
Oh.
Stick with me, I'll take your places. It's right up there with Blenkinsop in terms
Oh.
of memorable. No, it's stunning, it's really nice. Yeah, Limitless Trails, folks. Look them up. Really nice community feeling, but very welcoming as well. And just cracking routes.
Did you win?
Yes, I did.
Ellis wasn't there then.
Shut up. But just lastly, just to confirm, because you could almost say, you said before, like you wanted to have a good time. And it sounds like a lot of it wasn't.
It wasn't. I fucked
So
it
is
up.
that
I
a
did fuck it
that?
up. I'll say to you, this is what I'll say to you, listener. The minute I left, I ran up Great Shona Fell, I fucked that up because I was like, I've set my table out and I don't want it to, now I don't want to fail, or I don't want to have to pull my neck in. It's quite a male way of doing things, I think. It's a bit of a male way of thinking. I was like, I'm just going to have to keep this up. But then I was like, this is a gamble for me as well. Can I keep this up? So in a way, I think I made peace with it because I was like, use it as a test. So I did use it as a test. And I've got so much more in me than I thought I had because I was 2 hours ahead of my uniform time. And when I came in at the end, even though I didn't do the sleep I wanted to do, various bits and bobs, I was within an hour of my unicorn time I'd plucked out the air based on other runners who I admire on this course.
But this is what fascinates me. So, but you also talked about wanting to problem solve, and it sounds like you did that really well. Lots of
Yeah, I
problems came
did.
along,
I
and
did
you
because
did.
honestly, there was times where I wanted to quit really badly, so badly. I would never talk to you about quitting. I would never talk to Holly about quitting because you're too close to it. But like Hannah Rickman, I talked about quitting. Like, and afterwards, I said I nearly fucking did a Rickman. I nearly did a Rickman. And if I had have done a Rickman, I wouldn't have come away with the result because, you know, Debbie still would have DNF'd, and then somebody else would have walked away with it. So. I'm just really glad that I didn't. I did that thing where people were like, it won't feel terrible forever. That's absolutely true, but it can feel terrible for up to 12 and a half hours.
Yes. So is it a success? Because we said it sounds like you didn't have as much of a good time as maybe you would have liked, but you did do lots of good problem solving. And then athletically or performance wise, it looks to most people like a success if you win a race. So is that overall, is it a success?
Yes, it is. Because the other thing is, I moved the success goalpost a little bit when I realised I was by myself, and I was like, I'm going to have experiences on this race that I didn't otherwise plan, like sleeping in the church at Burness. Everyone wants to have a kip in the church at Burness. I've
I've
never
never
slept in a
slept. No, I've
church.
never slept there. Yeah.
Oh, it's lovely. It's really warm in there. It smells nice.
Under his eye.
Like, and as I, yeah, like, I'm going to talk to John Bamber about fixing Rucksacks. So I did talk to John Bamber about fixing Rucksacks.
Listener, rather, you do have to be careful talking to John Bamber because he does like to
Oh,
talk.
he loves a chat. He
It, for
makes
those
a
who don't
great
know,
cup of instant coffee at 2:30 in the morning as well.
he is good with the hot drinks. I'll be fair.
He's great.
He looks a lot like Father Christmas. Great guy, real
Yeah,
character,
yeah.
mainstay of the race. Sorry.
And
Anyway, go
I
on.
was very adamant that should be polite and kind to volunteers at all times because sometimes I can be a bit short with them. And I was like, no, you will be kind to all of them. And I was. So the things that, you know, because I didn't have any friends to chat to and new relationships to make or anything, I was like, I'm going to be nice to everyone in checkpoints. I did make a couple of new, I don't want to say they're friends, but you know, like Dave. I know, obviously, Dave at what race did Dave say he was doing? Simon's doing Dragon's Back. So I'll see him at Dragon's Back. Dave is doing something else, Northern Traverse or something like that. Anyway, so I made a couple of, but you know, that really enjoying myself piece was missing. So I just was like, well, I'm going to have an experience. So I did have an experience.
Okay.
You know, I changed it. I was like, actually, I'd quite like to see the Cheviot at sunrise, so I'm going to move instead of leaving at 12 o'clock. I'm going to leave Bellingham at 10 o'clock, so I'll get there in time for it to be sunrise. And I did that purposefully because I was like, I'll add this to my successful things I've done. Like being on the Cheviot at 4 o'clock in the morning when the sun's coming up is pretty amazing. It's not something you do all the time because you can't just go there. You have to climb up the fucking thing. Bivvying. I want to do more bivvying. The freedom of just being able to lay down, zip yourself into a thing, go to sleep, and then wake up 10 minutes later. It was amazing. I'm going to leave my bivvy in my car. Like, so yeah, it was a real success, and I am really grateful. And do you know what else I'm really grateful for? All the support of, it's an unsupported race, but Kirsty popped out to see me at one point from nowhere. Just went, popped out. And you're allowed to see your friends and family once. And Mel came to start. Matt Neal sorted my car out for me. Like, people are so kind, and then just really nice messages from people on socials and stuff that just make it worthwhile. Because all I want to do is be an example of what's possible if you do your work, if you do work hard, and if you do want to turn it around. You don't want to be anything more than that.
Well, I'm quite certain you are. High five. Nice
Well,
one.
that's what makes a great podcast. High fiving.
That's probably the end of the show, isn't it? You need some
Wait.
proteins.
Okay. Oh, it's 7 o'clock. You need to watch your Handmaid's Tale, don't you?
You need some proteins. Right. Thanks for listening, everyone.
Next time we'll talk to Damien Hall about what he thinks success is, which he's been avoiding because he's frightened of failing, aren't you?
No. If you'd seen my GCSE results, it'd be quite clear. I'm not frightened of failing. Quite clear. And my A levels.
Or U levels, as they were called in your house.
Well, here's the thing. One of my A levels is an N, which no one else in the whole world seems to have ever got.
Wow.
Do you know what an N is? Nearly.
Is it?
For
Do you remember?
media studies, a career, an industry I worked in for 20 years after that.
I was once listening to an interview with Noel Gallagher. He got U's in all of his GCSEs and he told his mum it stood for unbeatable and she believed him. On that note, thanks for listening, viewer. We'll see you next week when I.
Please go and rate the show, give us a U or an N.
You do that. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Running Won't Save You podcast. If you have got 2 seconds, or maybe a bit longer, maybe a minute, can you head over to Apple or Spotify and give us 5 stars, please? We don't want to hear all the things you don't like about the pod, just the good stuff. We'd also encourage you, while you're on the internet, to go and check out Reaction Collective. Reaction Collective are a collective of wonderful human beings who are striving to make things a little bit better environmentally for everybody. They fix everything from tents to t-shirts, and they have an amazing collective. So go to have a look at Reaction Collective, Google it, you'll find it. Pre-Love Sports. We also support them. Pre-Love Sports sell secondhand kit, and they collect good quality secondhand kit to sell on as well, which encourages the circular economy of running. Into Ultra are an amazing charity who help people getting into the sport, because it is very expensive, as we all know. So they're a great company to be part of, great charity to get involved with. Just Google Into Ultra to see how you can help. And finally, our favourites, the Green Runners. If you're not a member of the Green Runners, then why the hell aren't you? It's easy to pledge. It's only £2.50 a year. And you can wear the same badge as Jasmine Paris, so a bit of virtue signalling. Thanks to all of our friends, and thanks to you, the listener. We will see you next week.